Something that has intrigued humanity from the very beginning of time are the constellations in the heavens. That is to say, the stars that are above us. Man, from the very dawn of time, I believe, has had a desire to study the constellations in the heavens. Down through the centuries, man has made more and more discovery about the universe in which we find ourselves in. And yet, with all of his discovery, with all of his learning, with all of his inventions, with all of his discovery, man still is not able to accurately even place a number as to how many stars there may be within the universe. Back there in the book of Genesis, God called Abraham to try to number the stars. And of course, Abraham wasn't able to do that. And the scripture tells us in the book of Psalms 147 verse 4 that God alone telleth the number of the stars. And not only that, but he calls them all by their individual names. In the northern hemisphere, in this planet, that is everywhere north of the equator, we have a very unique star pattern than we would have if we lived in the southern hemisphere. I had the privilege of being in Australia, as many of you know, for a couple of years. And oftentimes, late at night, I would drive out in the car to a specific place where there was very little light pollution. And just for a few moments would look out into the heavens. And from the southern hemisphere, you're looking into the Milky Way. Here in the northern hemisphere, we are looking out of the Milky Way. And the star charts are totally different in this part of the planet than they are south of the equator. You've got wonderful constellations, Corona, Orion, Andromeda, and man has studied them for centuries, even the signs of the zodiac that are very often corrupted by those who are, I suppose, superstitious and believe that they can tell something of their future and of their own personalities by looking at the stars. But one constellation that can be seen with the naked eye is at the very center of the star charts, and it's called Ursa Minor, or Little Bear in the English language. And right at the end of Ursa Minor, or the Little Bear's Tail, there is a very bright star that is called Polaris, or the Pole Star, or the North Star. And that particular star is right at the very center of the constellations that we see with our naked eye. It would be like if you took a compass and drew a circle with it, and right at the very center of that circle that you've drawn with your compass, there is the point that the compass has made. And that pole star, that north star in Ursa Minor, is a lot like the little point that has been left behind by the compass. In all of the stars that we see above us, right at the very center is the pole star. It's like the hub of a wheel. The pole star, as far as the naked eye is concerned, year upon year never moves. But all of the stars around it appear to circulate around the pole star. And that's because the pole star is never more than 1 degree out of line with the North Pole itself. So, as the Earth rotates upon its axis, it appears that all of the stars are moving with the exception of the pole star. And because of its place in the starry heavens, the fact that it never moves, that it's almost, as the naked eye would be concerned, at the center of our universe, and it's the brightest of all stars, it is a star that has been used to guide many a sailor or explorer down through the years whenever they lose their bearings. With the trained eye, they can look up and they can see the North Star or the Pole Star that points due north. And they can use that to be their guide and their directive. It is the literal guiding star of the starry heavens. Now, whenever it comes to the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6 is the Christian's pole star. It is, as it were, the believer's compass. Whenever it seems in life that we've lost our bearings, And maybe we do not know which way to go or where to turn. There's one text of Scripture found there, as it were, in the midst of the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, that seems to shine so brightly out of Scripture into the very hearts and minds of God's people. And whenever we need guidance, whenever we need direction, whenever we're seeking the Lord, whenever we have a very important decision to make, or something is burdening our hearts and we don't know how to cope with the issues of life, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6 is the believer's pole star. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think every Christian wedding that I have been to, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, somewhere along the way seems to be quoted, whether it's by the minister in the church or by different members and friends of the bride and groom at the reception. Somewhere along the line, somebody somewhere seems to quote Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. And very often if you receive a letter from a brother or sister in the Lord, sometimes you'll find Proverbs 3, 6 at the bottom of that letter. Or maybe as you saw in the new year, you received a text message, and in that text message, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6. In all likelihood, there are some here that have that very text hanging somewhere on the wall of their home. As a little boy, I used to visit my aunt and uncle, and just above their fireplace on the wall of their home, they had this text of Scripture written, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I believe it's one of the greatest texts in the Bible. Simply beautiful, and at the same time, beautifully simple. There are two simple things that I would like you to notice about this text. Two very obvious things as we consider this morning the believer's pole star. Notice there is in this text of Scripture a precept or a commandment. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then secondly, there is a promise. He shall direct thy paths. Let us first of all then consider the precept. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This is a very simple commandment, a very simple injunction, a very simple precept. None of us can fail to understand what is meant in this commandment that God has given us this morning. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Notice three simple things about this precept. First of all, the word acknowledge. That is an exercise for us to be engaged in. This is something that God calls us to be active in, to acknowledge him. We all would recognize the word acknowledge to mean recognition or appreciation. If you're down the street and you meet somebody and they acknowledge you, it means that they recognize you, who you are. Or if you do somebody a good turn and you help somebody and they send an acknowledgement, it means that they are sending a note of appreciation. And so in our lives, we need to acknowledge God. We need to recognize God's hand and providence in all things. And we need to show God appreciation in all things as well. But the word acknowledge means much more than to recognize or to appreciate. It literally comes, this word acknowledge, from a Hebrew verb which means to know. To know. And we have the word know right there in the very center of the word acknowledge. You take the words ledge off the end, and you take the letters AC off the start, and you're left with the word know. And the word acknowledge comes from the verb to know. Not just to know intellectually, but to know in the sense of having learned, discerned, perceived, or become skillful in something. Somebody comes to your house maybe to wire the electric or to fix the plumbing, and somebody says, "Well, I would recommend so-and-so because he knows what he's about. He knows what he's doing." They're telling you that this man has learned or become skillful or acquainted in his craft. Or if you're needing advice, maybe legal advice or medical advice, and somebody recommends a doctor or an accountant or something, and they say, go to that person because they know what they're talking about. They have learned it. They've become skillful in their field of endeavor and in their field of practice. And so this verse of Scripture is telling us that we too need to become skillful in recognizing the will of God for our lives. We might use this word acknowledge in this sense. Get the mind of the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In everything that you put your hand to, seek to know what the Lord would have you to do. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. How much ground can be lost in the Christian life? Because whenever we come to make important decisions, they might seem to be big decisions, they might not seem to be big decisions, but nevertheless, they're important decisions, and we can lose so much ground with God because we fail to get the mind of the Lord, and we fail to acknowledge Him. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was at Bethel, the house of the Lord. And then Scripture says there arose a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt. And there's nothing of worth that happened to Abraham when he was in Egypt. He failed to get the mind of the Lord. He failed to acknowledge the Lord. He failed to pray and to seek the Lord and get a word from the Lord as to what he was to do at that given time because there was a famine. He thought it would be easier somewhere else and he uprooted his tent and he got the tent pegs up and he went south and he went down into Egypt, down into the world. And very often whenever the church is going through periods of famine or barrenness or the Christian is going through a lean time, they can often make decisions without getting the mind of the Lord that will rob them of gaining ground with the Lord. Then one chapter later, Lot did the same thing. Abraham had learned his lesson. And he's not going to make the same mistake again. And because there was division amongst the herdsmen of Lot's cattle and the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle, Abraham said to Lot, "Now let there be no strife between us, I pray thee. Is not the whole land before us? Choose whatever plot of land you want. If you go to the west, I'll go to the east. If you go to the east, I'll go to the west. If you go north, I'll go south." And he's just seeking the Lord about this. Abraham's a very spiritually sensitive man now. But Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Sodom, and without acknowledging the Lord, without getting the mind of the Lord, without seeking the Lord, he made a decision on the basis of what his eyes saw. And that was the ruination of his own family. And Lot from that moment in time became a backslider. The book of Ruth begins speaking about a man called Elimelech, who took his wife and his family away down to Moab because again there was a famine in the land. And without acknowledging the Lord, without getting the mind of the Lord, without getting a word from the Lord, without seeking the Lord, he made a decision that took his wee family far, far away from the Lord. Christian, this morning, you need to get the mind of the Lord in every decision in life. Who are you to marry? Who are you to make your friendships with, your acquaintances with? What are you to do for a living? Where are you to live? What are you to do with your time, your talents, and your money? What would the Lord have you to do? That's the fundamental question. Get the mind of the Lord. It's not for the child of God. It's not for me to take matters into my own hands and to make my own decisions without first and foremost acknowledging the Lord. Paul says, "Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are the Lord." You see, this whole word redemption, it means to purchase. And the blood of Christ does more, friends, than cleanse us from our sin. It does more than secure us a place in heaven. But the blood of Christ is the very currency whereby God made us his own people. And we have been redeemed, purchased by precious blood to be the Lord's, and we are not our own. And therefore, to give God his rightful place, we need to acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge, that's your exercise. Acknowledge him. There's our object. Now there are people that God would have us to respect. Honor thy father and thy mother. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Nourish your wife. Cherish your wife. Wives, reverence your husbands. The scripture says, honor the king. The Bible says we're to be subject unto the powers that be because they're ordained of God. But above and beyond all of these things, supremely, we are to acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Essentially, the child of God really has only one voice to listen to. And it's the voice of God speaking through the word of the Lord. Men give advice, but God gives guidance. You see, whenever you're making an important decision in life, you can go to an elder, you can go to a Sunday school teacher, a Bible class leader, a pastor, a minister, a Christian friend or brother, a godly father or godly mother, and they can advise you, and they can counsel you, and they can pray for you, and they can show you from the Word of God what they think you should do. But at the end of the day, the fundamental thing is, get the mind of the Lord. My idea or my opinion is no good to you if it's not a Bible answer. Make sure you get the mind of the Lord. Because the Lord in our lives wants to have the preeminence. He wants to have the first place. And his kingdom and his will and his name are the most important things. And at the end of the day, when all is said and done, we'll give an account of ourselves to him. To him. And therefore we need to acknowledge him. And only God can truly guide us into the will of God for his life. I'm not sure if you've ever had the experience of somebody else telling you what the will of God is for your life. You should do this, or you should go there, or you should go to the other place, or this is what you should do. And in your heart of hearts, it doesn't bear witness with you. You need to acknowledge him. Whenever I was a young believer, in my early 20s, maybe 20 or 21 years of age, the Lord, so many times in a short space of months, gave me this wonderful promise. And it has been so precious to me ever since. Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. And friends, I have come back to that promise again and again and again. And you know, God is as good as and God is better than his word. He does guide continually. Will you say this morning, how do I acknowledge God in my life? What does it mean for me to acknowledge God? Well, if you take Proverbs chapter 3 and you take the first 12 verses, it gives us all of the principles that we need to exercise in our lives to get the mind of the Lord. Primarily verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And if we're to get the mind of the Lord, where do we get the mind of the Lord? Do we get it by some milky, sentimental feeling? Some feeling that's just plucked out of the air? Some emotional experience that we've passed through? Do we do something because we just feel like it? It feels like the right thing? Or some people say, well, I've prayed about it, therefore I'm going to do this. But if it doesn't tally with the Word of God, and it's not in the Bible, and it's not according to God's Word and God's law, and we're not keeping God's commandments, well then we're not, whatever words we want to put on it, we're not acknowledging the Word of God. We're not acknowledging the Lord. Many Christians, professing Christians, sadly, I'm persuaded, don't even read the Word of God, let alone obey it. One of the best things a Christian can do at the start of a new year is to set for themselves a Bible reading plan. Something that will consistently take them through the Word of God, maybe over a year, maybe over 2 years, whatever works for you. But make sure you're in the Word of God day and daily. Because if you close the Word of God, it's like getting into your car without a map and without satellite navigation and not knowing where you're going and hoping you're going to arrive at your destination and ignoring all of the road signs and all of the guidance that's out there for us. Trying to live the Christian life without the Bible is just living a life of blindness. Acknowledge is your exercise, Him is your object. In all thy ways, and there's the range. I remember one time somebody saying to me about a very important decision in life. He says, you know, you don't even need to pray about that. And I was thinking, well, if there's ever something I needed to pray about, it's this decision that I'm about to make. And friends, whenever somebody says, don't pray about something, that immediately sets alarm bells ringing. You might say, it's so obvious, you don't need to pray about it. But pray about everything. Pray over the Word of God. Pray about the big things. God is interested in the big things in our lives. In your life, your career, your home, your family, your marriage, your children, your service for God, your church life, your devotional life. These are big things. Pray about them. Get the mind of the Lord in them. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. These are life-changing decisions. They not only affect you, but they affect so many people around you. If I make the wrong decision about my life's partner, if I make the wrong decision about my walk with God or my service for God or the wrong decision about career or whatever it may be, that affects not just me, but that affects so many people around me. And that's why Paul, the apostle, in 1 Timothy 1:19 reminded Timothy about the possibility of making shipwreck concerning the faith. And if the Word of God says, acknowledge Him in all things, it's not just speaking about the big things, but it's speaking about the small things as well. The Lord Jesus assured us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but our Heavenly Father knows all about it. Have you ever been in your car and you desperately need to get the car parked, and you can't find a parking space? And you've just said, Lord, would you provide a parking space for me? And the Lord has provided a parking space. Somebody just pulls out. You throw up this just one sentence prayer, Lord, help me to get a parking space. And there somebody pulls out and in you get. Something small and insignificant that's not going to change the destination of humanity. But yet it's something small. And even in that, you can still acknowledge the Lord. You see, sometimes my children come to me with little things. I'm maybe in the study and they come and here's a little toy car and the wheel's falling off it. Dad, could you fix this? And this is the biggest thing in the world for them. And it concerns them. And because they're concerned about it, ultimately, probably to a lesser degree, I'm concerned about it as well. And if I can fix that little thing, I will. And sometimes you think God couldn't possibly care about that little detail in my life, something that's annoying me, something that's niggling about me. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This really is speaking about surrendering every little aspect of her life into the hand of a Father who deeply cares compassionately about the smallest things in life. Big doors open and close on small hinges. Hudson Taylor quoted that great line. He says, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And He wants to be Lord of all. Whatever you're concerned about, God's concerned about. The Scripture says He will perfect those things that concern us. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's the precept. And then, in closing, you have the promise. He shall direct thy paths. A simple precept, but notice this glorious promise. He shall direct thy paths. He, there's ability. God has got the ability, and God has got the authority to direct us and to navigate our way through life. He has got not only the wisdom to direct us, but he has also got the willingness to direct us. One of the schools that I've done assemblies in on occasion is the D.H. Christie in this town. And their motto text for their school and their big crest there in the assembly hall, God direct us. God direct us. God has got the ability, the authority, the wisdom, and the willingness to guide us and to direct us through life. And this text of Scripture is the Christian's pole star. In the darkness that's around us, this principle never changes. And so whenever I'm looking to the Lord for guidance, I don't need to manipulate anything. I don't need to try to manufacture anything. I don't need to maneuver anything because God is fit and God is big enough and able enough to guide me through life. You know, there's a lot of people and they get crowbars out and shoehorns out and they tug and they pull and they hammer and they whitewash a thing to make it look as if it's God's will. But friends, if it's the will of God and it's God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for my life, I don't have to try to manipulate things. Do you remember whenever Elijah was in Mount Carmel? And he wanted to prove to the world around about him that Jehovah was the true God. He built his altar and he put the 12 stones in place. And then he took the bullock and he cut it up and he put it in pieces upon the altar. And then he dug a big trench about it and he got barrel after barrel after barrel of water to make it almost as difficult as possible for anything to happen that would set the thing on fire. Because he wanted God himself to send fire from heaven. And if God is God, he can burn up the sacrifice. If it's underneath the water, God can still do it. You know, if that was Northern Ireland, you know what we would do? We would build our altar out of stones. And then we would put our sacrifice on top of it. And instead of pouring water over it, we would be pouring petrol over it. And then we'd be throwing stones and flint at it to try and get a spark to ignite the whole thing. And then at the end we would say, see, that was God. God doesn't need us to manipulate his will. If it's the will of God, and you acknowledge God in all your ways, God will fulfill his will in your life. He, that's ability. Shall, that's assurance. There's no doubt about this. God shall direct our paths. He's a covenant-keeping God. The name Jehovah is all to do with the God who keeps his covenant engagements. You notice the amount of times in Scripture God says, I will. Or people speaking about God say, he shall. Or people speaking to God say, thou wilt. There's no doubt about this. God says, I will guide thee. Solomon says, he shall guide thee. The psalmist said, Lord, thou wilt guide me. And so we don't need to go into 2015 with doubts and with fears and filled with uncertainty about the future. I'm not a fortune teller and none of us know what tomorrow may bring forth. But we know this, that if we acknowledge God in all of our ways, he shall direct our paths. If we keep our eyes upon this pole star, this north star, God will guide us. I remember whenever I was learning to drive, the very first driving lesson that I went for in a little Peugeot 205, the driving instructor, he was a Christian man, took me out and he parked the car at the side of the road and he says, now whenever you're driving a car, he says, here's the most important thing. Don't be looking at the ground just a couple of feet in front of the car. But he says, pick something in the distance and fix your eyes upon that. And he says, that will get the car to go the straightest. And as long as you're looking at something in the distance, you'll see everything between that object and the car, and you'll be kept safe. And that will guide the car straight, and that will guide the car safe. He says, don't just be looking at the ground in front of the car, because he says, that'll not work out just as well. Keep your eyes on something in the distance. And whenever we keep our eyes upon this text of Scripture, and we keep our eyes upon Christ, the sun of the morning, the bright morning star, the Lord certainly will guide us. Three guiding lights that used to guide ships into the harbor. And whenever the ship was trying to navigate its way into the harbor, it would see the harbor lights. But out at sea, there were three lesser lights. And whenever those three lights lined up, the ship would turn and it would navigate its way in whenever the three lights merged into one. And there's the light of God's providence. And then there's the light of the principles of God's word. And then there's the light of the peace within our hearts. And whenever those lights line up and we're walking according to the principles of God's word, and we've got this peace within our hearts, and we're submitting ourselves to the providence of God, we can be sure that God is guiding us. He, there's ability. Shall, there's assurance, direct thy paths, and that's authenticity. God really does guide. How many people in the meeting today can testify and look back and say, the Lord has led me? Like the hymn writer, grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? There are many doors that you could open in life, many roads that you could take. But what a blessing it is to be able to say, the Lord has directed my paths. All of these other ways that I could have gone, mistakes that I could have made, things that I could have done, and yet in it all, the Lord is leading me as a flock. Whenever I came to the end of my time in Bible college, one Monday night coming out of the prayer meeting, Dr. Douglas met me at the door, and he just began, so he says, well, your time is finished in college and you have a future in front of you. And he quoted a verse of Scripture, and it was a verse that I myself had been praying over in my quiet time. Psalm 27 verse 11, lead me in a plain path. And as only Mr. Douglas could, he went in his simple way just to explain what the meaning of the word plain was according to the Hebrew and all the rest of it, but just made it so simple. Just pray, says, that God would lead you in a straight path, that it would be unmistakable. And what a blessing it is to be able to know that God has given us such a promise. God is able to fulfill such a promise. And then to look back and say, as far as I can discern, that promise has been fulfilled in my life. Friends, God is every bit as good as his word. Charles Bridges wrote a great commentary on the book of Proverbs. And I just want to finish by quoting to you what Charles Bridges says, in part, about the Christians or the believer's pole star. Take one step at a time, every step under divine warrant and direction. Ever plan for yourself in simple dependence on God. It is nothing less than self-idolatry to conceive that we can carry on even the ordinary matters of the day without his counsel. He loves to be consulted. Therefore, take all thy difficulties to be resolved by him. Be in the habit of going to him in the first place, before self-will, self-pleasing, self-wisdom, human friends, convenience, expediency. Before any of these have been consulted, go to God at once. Consider no circumstances too clear to need his direction. In all thy ways, small as well as great, and in all thy concerns, personal or relative, temporal or eternal, let him be supreme. Who of us has not found the unspeakable peace of bringing to God matters too minute or individual to be entrusted to the most confidential ear? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May God prove it to be so in our lives in the year that lies before us.